This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We've been preaching on the life of Joseph, and this is installment part 3. If you have not listened to installment part 1 and 2, you've missed out. So please go online, go and listen to this. And the reason I say this is that what we're doing is we're breaking up Joseph's life into the 10 character tests that Joseph went through. And the reason we're doing this is because it's, and I entitled this Dream to Destiny, because Joseph got a dream, but it took him 10 character tests to get into his destiny. Most people live in the dream and never reach their destiny. Is that scary? Most of us live in a dream. We don't live in that destiny. And the number one reason that stops us from living in the destiny is character. So the reason we go through these tests is that we can go and build character. So we're looking at the life of Joseph, which is from Genesis 37 to verse 50, at least to, Genesis 37 to 50. And as I say, this is the palace test, chapter 3. And as we see, we started and we struggled with a bit of pride. So the first one was the pride test, and then we had the pit test right down, and now the palace test. So it's one of those good tests. This is one of those good news things, because I know when you're like, oh my goodness, this pastor just wants to focus on all the bad. So there is good character tests as well. And there's a few promises that God gives us that I really want us to work through this evening, if that's all right with you. Reminding us that Joseph had the dream at the age of 17, and only at the age of 30 did he start walking in the destiny God had for him. And if you're interested in all 10 there, you can see all 10 character tests. And as you can see, there's a few more not so nice ones to go through. But let's read scripture. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now you must remember, there's a dream on his life, and his dream, Joseph's dream was, right, my parents and my brothers, my siblings, are all going to bow before me. Can you imagine being in Potiphar's house thinking, I get it now. I get it now, right? Time's coming soon, right, that my brothers are going to bow before me, but let's carry on. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant, his PA. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. Stop. What we need to remember is that Potiphar is not an Israelite. He does not believe in the God of the Jews. And yet he recognizes the anointing on this man's life. He recognizes that God is with him. In other words, in today's vernacular, Potiphar is not saved. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. with Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Man, this sounds like a Durbanville family, right? As a husband, you come home and your wife has just done everything for you. And so you say, I got to choose at least something to say in my family, in my household. So we're going to braai. And then the wife makes everything except the meat itself. Although she went to go buy the meat. And probably prep the meat too. And we men don't admit that. Joseph was blessed in everything he did because of the favor of God on his life. Genesis 39. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. We see this again later in Joseph's life when he's before the Pharaoh, he becomes the second most powerful man in the world at that time. Because of the favor of God, because everything he touched, he succeeded in. Would it not be nice in your life and in my life if everything we did, we succeeded in? Can I have an amen? I almost heard the camera say amen. It was such a... Right? Imagine that. Imagine everything you put your hand to works. Now, if you had to go into my garage, you'll notice there's a lot of things that probably used to work and don't work anymore because I thought maybe I should take it apart. And then when I put it back together, it just doesn't seem, it's just too many parts suddenly, right? Men, are you with me? If your gardening skills is like my gardening skills, I have the ability to kill any plant. Cactuses die around me. I mean, it's just scary. Imagine that God would bless you so much that you would succeed in everything that you did. So tonight I'm going to give you four keys so that we can experience success in our lives. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. Key one. Now, I need to give a disclaimer before we start. Now, if you know me longer than 2 minutes, I have a major problem with the prosperity gospel. So what I want to say from the word go, this is not a prosperity gospel teaching, not at all. And in fact, if you look at Joseph's life, there was a lot of suffering. There was a lot of hard times. At the same time, we have to be biblical about what the Bible says about prospering. We cannot throw it all out. We cannot say that God does not want us to prosper. We have to have a biblical understanding of prosperity. The Jewish word for prosperity is to push forward. In other words, God was pushing Joseph forward before the warden, before Pharaoh, before Potiphar. God was pushing him forward. Wouldn't that be awesome in the workplace if God kept pushing you forward? And you're like, hold on, Lord. No, Lord, that's enough now. And then he just pushes you forward. No, Lord, I don't want that promotion. And he just pushes you forward. Wouldn't that be awesome? To start with, the first key for prosperity is the presence of God. We see that Cain in Genesis 4 moved out of the presence of God. So you can move away from the presence of God. We can leave his presence. Genesis 26. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to... Thank you, Joe. Let's try everyone. And the man began to... And continued until he became... There's a lot of prosperity in that, right? Three times. It seems that he was very prosperous. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you will in everything you do. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. 2 Kings 18. And then 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in every way that you may succeed and prosper and be in good health, just as I know your soul prospers. The difference between a believer and a non-believer is that we carry the presence of God into our workplace, into our family, wherever we go. We can carry the presence of God. Does your employer believe that he is blessed, he or she is blessed because you are there? Partly what the problem is that we don't believe that. That's partly where it starts. I remember that Pastor C.S. from Shofar Stellenbosch was preaching a while back. He was actually giving us a teaching about this, and he said he was up on stage, and God said, tell the people that you are a blessing to them and that they are blessed because you are there. Now, as a pastor, it's one of those humbling moments, because now you have this internal struggle. How am I supposed to tell the people that you are blessed because I am here? That just sounds so arrogant. But the Lord wanted to really show him something and to explain to him something. I know that Shofar Durbanville is blessed because I am here. I truly believe that. I also truly believe that Shofar Durbanville is blessed because you are here. And I know that I'm blessed that you are here. And therefore, I know that I have something to receive and to learn from all of us. It's a two-way street. I truly believe that Shofar as a movement is a better place because I'm here. Because God placed me here. If you can go to work, if you can go to your family, if you can be amongst your friends and have that and know that, not in an arrogant way, in a true humble way, because that should humble you. But to know that they are blessed because you have something to bring. You are making a difference because you have the presence of God upon your life. You have the anointing of God on your life. Does your employer believe that he's blessed because you are there? So, Bernie, what is the key to the presence of the Lord? Thank you for asking. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. Key two. For those of you that want to take photos of all the keys, at my last slide, I put down all forward one just for you. For you at home, you can just pause. On your YouTube, you can just pause it and just take it all in. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. Let's look what Scripture says. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's earliest years and did not worship the images of Baal. 1 Samuel 18, verse 14. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. Two verses back, Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Saul had been disobedient to God. David was obedient. That's good news for us right now, because this guy caused some really, he did some shameful, sinful things. The secret what David did was, as soon as God pointed out, he repented. David had a heart after God, and it was a heart of repentance. As soon as the prophet came to David and called him out, he immediately repented. David did not do everything right. This is not a works-based thing. It's not about getting everything right. Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You'll be blessed if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I'm giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commandment of the Lord, your God, and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. Let me help us in a little bit of perspective in this. I have a 1 year old and 8 months, 80% joy child, 20% humbling. And as all of you seen this week, there's been snow on every mountain that exists. Well, so it felt. And so we've got this gas heater, and she loves playing with the gas heater. All right. So whether the gas heater's on and off, we're trying to teach her, don't play with the gas heater. Whether it's on and off, she still wants to put her hand in there. Now, as a father, I'm not going trying to be funny or to try and rule over or dominate her. You cannot dominate a 1 year old or shorter 2 years old child. That just is the other way around. But the point is, my heart is that she does not hurt herself. So when God asks us and says, be obedient, it's not because he's trying to test you or be funny, because he really wants you to succeed. He really wants you to do well, because he has the best for you. And if you don't, by putting your finger into that fire or into that gas burner, you will be cursed. There will be physical pain. Are you with me this evening? This is not a doctrine of works. We are saved by grace. You are 100% saved by grace. But if you want to succeed, you need to obey. It's grace and obedience. We need to take a biblical look at these topics, right? Because there's a hyper-grace movement and there's a works movement. We need to get exactly what God calls and says. We need to have biblical understanding. If you listen and obey God, you will be blessed with prosperity throughout your lives. All your years will be pleasant. But if you refuse to listen to him, you will cross over the river of death, dying from lack of understanding. Job 36. So what is the key to obedience? The key to obedience is faith. Most of us have more faith in a geezer than we do in God. Think about this. Every morning when you wake up, and I was counseling a couple earlier this evening and late this afternoon, and then what is my point? I lost the whole thing there when I was talking about the couple. The geezer, yeah. And he was saying that he really struggles, that's right, he really struggles to wake up in the morning. Like, it's just, you know, it's that cup of coffee is like, just like, you need that coffee, right? So when all of us wake up in these white, beautiful mountains surrounding us, and you wake up in the morning and you put on that hot tap, what comes out of that hot tap? Ice cold water. Yet you have enough faith to believe that that water will become hot. I don't know if you've been at, if you got in one, say, one of those older houses where the geyser seems to be three doors down. or those hotels where you kind of put on the geyser and then you go snooze for another half an hour and then you go and have a shower, right? But you believe no matter what, there's hot water coming. And that's the power of faith. If we turn on the tap of obedience, it may feel cold, but it's going to get hot. That's when faith kicks in. Many times we don't obey because we don't believe there's any consequences. It's the biggest reason why we're not obedient, because we don't think there's any consequences. But God is a God that rewards. God will always reward if you're obedient. If you obey, God wants to bless us. God wants to reward you when you obey. Listen to what Ephesians has to say. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. In other words, this is the first commandment with a reward. What is that reward? If you honor your mother and father, most of us know that you will live a long life, but it says things will go well with you. Isn't that amazing? If you obey your parents, how much more so if we obey God? Because He is our good Father. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Many of us go about, you know what, Lord, when I get a promotion, then I'll do my best. When I get treated right at the workplace, then I'll start doing my bit. If you add, then I will. We must do everything as unto the Lord. God will add increase when we start being diligent with what He's given us. So in this season, look at what God's given you and be diligent. Another disclaimer. This is really a tough time. And this is one of the reasons we're working through this whole 10 character tests, because what we are forced to face, as I mentioned last time, is during this time, who we really are. Our fuses are really short. We get frustrated faster. Speaking to someone that ended up having to go home because they couldn't sit all day with the mask because they just started like hyperventilating because it's just too much. It's an unnatural time. And the great thing about this time is your true character comes out and we are able to deal. So yes, a lot of us have lost our jobs. So I don't want to take away from that, but anything you do, do it as unto the Lord. And if you have your job, do it as best you can. Hebrews 3. And to whom was God speaking when He took an oath that He would never, that they would never enter His rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed Him? Listen carefully. So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Speaking about the Israelites and the promised land. Not because of works, not because of disobedience, but because of unbelief. They did not have faith. They did not have faith. And therefore they did not enter his rest. They disobeyed because they did not believe. The key to prosperity is the presence of the Lord. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. The key to obedience is faith. The key to faith is hearing the Lord. Hearing the word. So faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ, through the word. Not doing, but hearing. Not worshiping, not singing hymns, not praying hours at a time, but by hearing. Hear, believe, obey. Hear, believe, obey. We need to get in the Word. We need to meditate on it. We need to reflect on the Word. At this point, Ross is on Wednesday nights running a reflective service where we just reflect on the Word of God, where we take time to sit and meditate on the Word of God. We need to fill ourselves with the Word. There are many online platforms that's free and available for you to read or to listen to. I'd say go climb in your car on the way to work. That doesn't count for this season. Go sit in front of your laptop 20 minutes early and go get an audio Bible and listen to the word. Fill yourself with the word of God. Know the word of God. Know the word of God for your business. For your workplace, for your family. Here's a question. Do you think through your degree or do you think through the word? Do you think through your training or do you think through your word? Okay, Bernie, but if I don't know what 2 + 2 is, my books aren't going to... I'll have to klop nie, and then there's trouble, you know, so... Let me rephrase it. Are you influenced more through your training or more through the word? Because ethical scenarios come along in your workplace. Because a lot of decisions you've got to make and a lot of your daily work is interaction. Many of us, unfortunately, live a dualistic life that when we click on into our workplace, we go into work mode, and then when you wake up, when you look again, it's 5 p.m., and you can log off and go home, and then you can, like, okay, hi, God. Let's put up that last slide so we can see all of them together. God is calling us into a place that he truly wants us to prosper and do well and to succeed in everything we do. Now, we might need to go, unfortunately, we don't have time tonight, into actually what success is, because we like to rate success, more money, more success. That's not what success is. But God wants you to succeed and wants you to prosper. Why? so that others will look in and see God. Your prosperity is not primarily about you. Here's a little nugget. Joseph at this point didn't get it yet. He didn't quite understand that at this point yet. I believe he was thinking, yes, please. If my brothers could see me now, where are you boys? Come and bow down now. I'm ready. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to succeed for his kingdom's sake, so that his kingdom can come, so that his will may be done. That is the primary purpose that God wants us to succeed. At the same time, because he cares about us, because he loves us. Now, as with Paul, we see that whether he had much or whether he had little, he always glorified God. God was always everything. God was the equation, not the blessing. Many of us get a prophecy of our lives, or some of us have a prophecy at least of our lives, where we have a word that God gives us, and that word becomes everything. I believe that's what happened with Joseph's life. It becomes an idol. So we more want the promise than to connect with the one that gives the promise. So many of us are struggling because God cannot bless us because it's such an idol in our lives. But if we can come to the point where we recognize this is just a tool so that people can see how good God is. Because if you're thirsty, come and drink of the one that will never let you thirst again. I'm going to call the band up. We're going to worship a song together, and I want us to take this time and truly reflect. Where's our hearts at? And Lord, do I carry your presence? The greatest compliment someone can ever give you is that, you know, when I'm around you, you remind me of Christ. Or I experience Christ when I'm around you. It's the greatest compliment you can get. I spent a little bit of time with Uncle Angus, and can I say something? I know a lot of people have a lot to say about Uncle Angus. Uncle Angus carries the presence of God. And I've sat and had breakfast with him one day at the airport, just experienced the presence of God. And he obeys, eh? He's unashamed. I was a youth student for the first time that I spent time with him, and it's long before he started these massive men, mighty men, and he came and preached by us in Stellenbosch. And C.S. and myself took him to the airport, and we're sitting at one of these high tables, and it's one of the only high tables around. And so Uncle Angus says, the breakfast arrives, and just spending time with him, he says, C.S., pray for us. And then and so we crouch in, and he says, no, pray loud that everyone can hear. And I'm like, praise God, he knows me to pray loud. I'm dying 1,000 deaths. Oh Lord, please let no one see. And Angus is out there, he's loving it because he wants people to know that God is here and that we are blessed because God is with us. Changed my mind. Because he carries the presence of God. It's a beautiful colored lady, intercessor in Krabo, Auntie Katie, and she's my ultimate hero. Someone that none of us will ever meet. Auntie Katie's one of my ultimate heroes, and I met her for the first time. Actually, not the first time. I knew her as a child when I grew up in Gqeberha. And then I saw her again many years later in Israel. I was visiting my cousins. They were missionaries there. And every year she goes to Israel to go and pray. And presence of God. I've never experienced the presence of God in any person like I did with Auntie Katie. So much so when she left, I just held on to her. I said, no, Auntie Katie, you can't go. Stay a little longer. Because she just oozed the presence of God. That holiness, that beauty, that serenity, that humility. And yet you experience that God is doing something, He's going. God has called us to carry His presence into every situation. So when you're picking up from Take A Lot, when they're dropping off that parcel, you have checkers dropping off, or you're walking into Pick and Pay, even though you've got a mask on, the presence of God goes with us. And we can take the presence of God into our workplace so that our bosses and the people we work for and our CEOs will say, that guy, Joe, Your Highness, he's got something's different. He's got the presence of God. Let's stand and worship. And those of you at home, worship with us together. And we're going to close off in prayer after that. But let's just spend some time in the Lord's presence together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.